appreciate everything that's been said and done thus far. If you got your Bibles, turn with us this morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 23. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. Like a title of today's message, it would be "The Cross That Divides Is Also the Cross That Bridges." The cross that divides is also the cross that bridges. You know, many preachers and pastors and of the such that as we prepare for this upcoming week, and as Joel mentioned, talking about Easter, you know, high school, football players and the basketball and all that, they prepare for the for that end game. They prepare for that Super Bowl, if you'll have it, to and that's if you have it, that's all that matters. See if they can make it to the big game and see if they can get the ring. Well, in the church, yes, Christmas is nice and it's all pretty and we enjoy it. Please hear me out when I say this. But Easter is the big game. Anybody can be born. Not only one person was born of a virgin, but only one person could go and die on the cross for you and for me, and that was Jesus Christ. And only one person has raised himself from the dead and for me and for you, and that was Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking forward to as we move into to Sunday being Easter. And if that doesn't stir your heart just a little bit, if that doesn't get the engine rolling just a little bit faster, then maybe there's something a little stuck in the engine that needs to be pulled out, if you'll have it. Because this Easter is really what it's all about. If Jesus hadn't been born a virgin, born in the manger, and then went to the cross and died, and then raised again 3 days later, we'd be of men almost miserable, or of all men most miserable, as Paul put it. But see, we're not, because he did die on the cross. He did stay in the tomb, but then he did rise again on the third day, all for me and for you. This morning, very familiar scripture, pretty familiar, I'm sure, as we look into the Easter story, into the promise of Easter. But most of us know how the story played out. Most of us know how the history played out. I don't want to say it's just a story, because it wasn't just a story. It really happened. And I believe that probably not one of us would be here willing to go and do the same thing that Jesus did, because he knew all along that was why he came. That he knew that he was going to the cross. He knew that of the men that were going to beat him. He knew of the nail that was going to pierce his hands and his feet. Jesus knew, and he still chose to go and to do it. But as we move into our scripture this morning, I'll get to Luke in just a second. I want to read something to you from Matthew chapter 10. As we think about the cross that divides and the cross that bridges as well. Pilate tried to take the middle road for Christ. As we move into the story of the mockery of the trials, we look at Christ being crucified. Pilate tried to take the middle road. And I want to tell you, in our walk of faith, there's no such thing as a middle road when it comes to Christ. Pilate went and he asked the crowd and he said, "What would you have me to do with this man? What would you have me to do?" And they repeatedly said, "Crucify him." He said, "Why? He's not done anything wrong. Nothing justifiably to be crucified, if you will have it." And then he went so far to say, "Well, I wash my hands of this man's blood." And they said, "Fine, his blood be upon us." But you see, Pilate can't just do that. Neither can anybody else that is sat under the sound of the gospel preaching say, "Well, I wash my hands of that. I can't do that." Because Pilate knew the truth. Pilate had seen the truth. Pilate had talked to the truth. And he said, "I wash my hands of that." Pilate tried to do the middle road, but you can't do that. He knew the truth. And they said, "Let his blood be on us." But even today, my friends, we try and take the middle road. We try and do things one way and then the next day do it another way. We were talking about that in Sunday school with Peter and how Paul had rebuked him. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 10 about dividing. We think of Christmas and we see how that it brings peace and joy, and we enjoy that. But listen to what Jesus said of himself. In chapter 10 of Matthew, verse number 33, he said, "But whosoever shall deny me before men," that would have been Pilate, "he said, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or more, father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You see, Jesus was saying there's going to be times in our lives that if you truly follow me, Brother Lloyd, there's going to be people that's not going to agree with you. There's going to be family members that are going to say, you've gone off your rocker. There's going to be friends that's just going to say, you're crazy, you've gone cuckoo. And Jesus, Jesus was saying, even your own daughters, your daughters-in-laws, your sons, they're going to turn against you. Now, we may not see that so much here in America, but I can tell you across the waters, people see it each and every day. People that are born in the Middle East that that may have been born into a different religion of a family, and now that they have heard the true religion, they've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they have turned to Christ, and now their own family members are mocking them, and even some of them trying to kill them because they don't want to hear the truth. And you see, that's exactly what the Jews were doing. They didn't want to hear the truth that Jesus was offering, and they said, crucify him! You see, the cross, even before Jesus got there, Jesus was causing division. The religious leaders, they didn't want to hear about this man. They didn't want to hear about the man that brought healing. They didn't want to hear about the man that brought sight to the blind, that healed the leper, that did all the miracles they did, that raised the dead. They didn't want to hear him. Why? They didn't want to hear what Jesus was offering. And even Pilate rightly asked the question, what has he done that is worthy of death? I've never heard of killing anybody because they gave sight to a blind man. I've never heard of crucifying anybody because he raised the sick from the dead. I've never heard of crucifying anybody because he raised the lame and gave him feet to walk upon again. I've never heard of that. Why do you want to crucify him? And you see, they didn't even answer the question. They just said, crucify. We don't want him anymore. We don't want the peace that he brings. But yet Jesus said, it's going to cause some division. My walk, my testimony, my gospel, the gospel that I represent, it's going to cause some division, and it did. But you see, Jesus spoke about this division even before he got to the cross. Even before he got there. And I know today that is today representing Palm Sunday. We preached on that really last Sunday. But many people today will take a cross, put it around their neck, and use it as a symbol. And I'm not knocking that in any way, don't get me wrong. But if you're going to wear that cross around your neck, my goodness, you need to know what that cross represents. I've seen people in my workplace, not that I work closely with, but some in the school system that have a cross around their neck, and just 5 minutes later, you'll hear them cussing like a sailor down the hall. Don't degrade the cross and what it represents by putting it on your neck and then talking like a sailor, a nasty person with the cuss words that come out of your mouth, when the cross that is upon your neck represents the life that was shed for you, that you wouldn't have to live like that. But Jesus was talking about this division. And now we get to the story of the crucifixion and how that it does. We know how that the mockery of a trial that took place. We know how that the beatings that took place. And as Jesus is walking up Calvary, we read down in Luke chapter 23. I want to begin reading at verse number 32. He said, "And there were also two other malefactors or thieves led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And we'll stop right there. The cross that divides. You see how that Jesus, as he's been leading up, being led up Calvary and up to Golgotha, we see how that the other two thieves who were going with him, or the two thieves were going with him. And if you read in Matthew and Mark, and you look at the story of the crucifixion, it does not record this part where the one thief changes his tune. It records how both thieves were railing against Christ, how both thieves were mocking and calling against Christ. But yet, somewhere along the line, one of the men changed. One of the men began to look at what Jesus really was. The cross began to divide even upon those who were hanging upon a cross. The cross that was there, they both probably knew that Barabbas should have been hanging right beside them. They probably both knew that Jesus was hanging in his place. The innocent for the guilty. The one thief here even begins to say that as he begins to rebuke the other thief. They both knew that something was wrong here. Both of these thieves were found guilty. Both of these thieves had committed the crimes. And they were receiving their just punishment, if you'll have that. Both are being punished for this, and they had even been found by the Roman court system to not be fit to live upon the face of the earth any longer. Both of these thieves, yet in just a few short hours, one died and went to hell, the other died and went to heaven. The cross divided. One went to heaven and one went to hell. But notice the question that the one thief began to ask in verse number 40. He said, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? As I was studying that this morning, I began to think, oh, don't we all fit in that same situation? Can we all say that that thief could be talking, was talking to me and to you? Do you not fear God because you're in the same situation? You're in the same condemnation. Do we really fear God? Do we really fear God seeing that we should have been on the cross? Seeing that we should have been hanging there instead of Jesus? Because Jesus didn't just take Barabbas' place on the cross. My friends, he took mine and yours. You see, does our nation even really fear the cross anymore? I don't believe so. Even to the point that when they try to make a statue out of some cross, some steel I-beams to represent a cross, even many in our nation begin to mock it and ridicule and say, tear it down. They don't want to see it. Why? Because they know what it means, what it represents, at least a portion of it. And they don't want to accept it. They want to be like Pilate and walk the middle of the road. Let's not offend anybody. But Jesus said it's going to offend people. It's going to hurt people's feelings. My friend, I'd rather hurt your feelings than for you to burn in a devil's hell for all eternity. Just if I could share the cross with you one time. You see, the cross that Jesus wore, the cross that Jesus carried up Golgotha, oh, it divided greatly, and it's still dividing today. Does our nation and our leaders fear God? I'd say by the majority, no. But then does our families still fear God? I would have to say there's many that they do not. And oh, that hurts. And I know it hurts God. But apart from the blood of Christ, we would all be like these thieves standing condemned before a righteous God. Apart from the mercy and the grace of our Lord, we'd all be rightly to stand condemned and receive the same condemnation, the same judgment of those two thieves that were hanging upon that cross. Apart from the mercy and the grace of God, we would all stand condemned. And at one point in our life, if we've been saved, we did stand condemned. And if you've not been saved by the blood of Christ, you do stand condemned. You may say, well, preacher, I'm not as guilty as those that are down in the prisons. I'm not as guilty as these two men that were hanging upon the cross. Yet are we not? We're not the judge. We've been studying on Wednesday nights about it in our evangelism training, how that God will be the judge and the standard that He will judge by. And James said in James chapter number 2, you may be think that you have kept all the law, but if you break at least one of those commandments, you are guilty of breaking every single one of them. Just one. And you see, Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the one that will say whether or not you are guilty or not. And you may stand here or sit here this morning and say, well, the cross is a mighty cruel thing. And my friend, I was sharing with Shauna last night. I was reading an article, and I don't remember who had wrote it, but do you know where we come up with the word excruciating? Anybody know? I know some of you are very learned, and you studied and went to college and all that. And the word excruciating, did you know that it came and it originated at the cross? At the cross, because they couldn't come up with a word to describe just how painful the cross was, and they had to create one. And that's where the word excruciating comes from, out of the cross. Just how painful it was. But the cross that divides. The cross was a mighty ugly thing. To the Romans, it was even to the point that if you're a Roman citizen, unless you were guilty of treason, you could not be crucified. And if you're guilty of treason, yeah, they would crucify you. But they saw it as such a brutal punishment that they wouldn't crucify a Roman citizen. That's just how awful it was. You say, well, surely God would do that. Here's the kicker. He did it. You and I did. Whose hand was upon that hammer that drove the nails into Jesus' hands? Whose hand was upon that spear that shoved into the side of Christ? Whose hands was upon that whip that beat him 39 times on his back and upon his legs? Whose hands was upon that crown of thorns that was placed upon his head? Whose hands was the fist that balled up and beat him as if he was to get into a fist fight, Owen and Jacob? It was mine, and it was yours, and it was every mankind that has been born on the face of this earth. It was my hands that did that. It was your hands that did that. It wasn't God. It was mine and yours. Yes, it was the love of God that kept him on the cross. Don't get me wrong. But my friends, it was mine and your sin that wrapped around that hammer, that drove that nail into his hands, into his wrist, and into his feet. It was our sins, and it was mine and your hands that did it. Oh, but Brother Virgil, it was his love that kept him there. His love for me and for you. And for all mankind. My, what a love. A love that I know I don't possess. A love that's willing to die for all mankind, knowing that in 30 years I'm going to have to go to a cross, be beaten to a pulp, and put a crown on my head that's full of thorns, and then be nailed between two people with spikes through my wrists and through my feet, asphyxiating to death. Can't even get a breath. I don't have that much love. Oh, but God does. Jesus does. He does, and he did, and he still does. Jesus has that much love. And even now, the cross still divides. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But not only does the cross divide, and if you truly live for Christ, I can tell you on the authority of the word, there's going to be people who's not going to like you. There's going to be people, young people, that say, you're an idiot. Come have fun with us. Come do this. Come do that. But the cross also is a bridge. There's many tracks that have been used, and I'm not knocking them in any way. They're good tracks. Who show mankind on one side of a deep chasm. And they show heaven and God on another side. And the only way to get there is to go through that cross.
The only way to get there is to cross that cross that Jesus took up to Calvary. You look at the two thieves that were there that were hanging on the cross. One chose to not go across that bridge, and he woke up in a devil's hell. He's waiting there on judgment day to face the judge that he hung by, to face Christ as his judge. The other thief saw Christ for who he really was. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And I want to tell you this morning, as Joel was, he was sort of dancing all around it here as he was speaking, the Lord never forgets his own. The Lord Jesus, I want to tell you, by the Lord, he'll never forget am I forgetting somebody? Did I forget to bring them up to heaven? Did I leave them all by themselves? You know, I've never, to my knowledge, I've never ran off and left Jacob or Hannah somewhere at a store when they were little. To my knowledge, now y'all remind me if I did, but I don't think I have. And I want to remind you this morning that Jesus has never forgotten a single one of us. And the one that can count the very hairs upon our head, he has never forgot any of us. And on that day, when we stand before or kneel before the Lord, Brother Virgil, I don't think he's going to have a lick of problem saying, "You know, I don't remember if I know you or not." The Bible even goes so far as to say there's going to be some that is going to say, "Depart from me because I never knew you." He knows that he never knew them because they never really knew him. But that thief that's hanging there on the cross, the one that looked over and sort of told the other, "Hey, you need to be quiet. You don't know who this really is." Can't you imagine that probably these thieves, they might have even heard about Jesus and even saw him do some of the miracles that he did and said, and the one mocked him and said, "Hey, if you're really Jesus, get us off of this thing because we're going to die up here." You see, there was no going to the cross for a little while and then coming down and it'd be all over. When you went to the cross, you went to die. But the other thief said, "You need to hush. Don't you know who this is? He's not worthy of dying on a cross. He shouldn't be up here. He's not guilty of the crime that would put him on a cross. But he's here." And he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom." Well, when Jesus did, Jesus looked over at him in the midst of shoving up with his feet just to get another breath, in the midst of pulling up with his arms that are elbows and shoulders probably out of socket, in the midst of all that pain, Jesus exerted enough strength to say, "I'll remember you, and today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And then just to let himself back down one more time, waiting to catch that next breath. See, Jesus went through all that just to tell him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And he did. The Bible begins to lay out what happened after that. It began to grow dark. And then Jesus finally said, "It is finished." And he said, "Fall into thy hand, I commend my spirit." And he died. Not long after that, the Bible says and records how the soldiers came along. They pierced the side of Jesus that the prophecy will be fulfilled, that not a bone will be broke on his body. And then they came up, Brother Lloyd, to the other thieves, and they broke their legs, speeding up the process. Because you see, if the legs are broke, you can't push up to get another breath of air. Yes, the cross was excruciating with the nails and such, but it was basically you were suffocating to death. You were always hanging in a point of trying to inhale. But if the legs are broke, you can't push up. And you suffocate. And that's what they did. But here's the kicker. Immediately after that, that thief that had looked over to Christ and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "I will." Where'd that thief wake up at? Not in hell. And it's either one or the other. He woke up in heaven. And I can't help but imagine, and I know it's not in Scripture, but I can imagine just a little bit. I can't help but imagine, Brother David, that when he got there, they said, "How'd you get here?" And he said, "By the cross." He said, "I got here by the cross, by the man that was standing beside me, hanging on the cross. That's how I got here. The last thing I knew was I said, 'Lord, remember me.'" And he said, "I will." And he did, because here I am. I got here by the cross. The cross that divides is also the cross that bridges the way between mankind and God and gives salvation. The Bible says, as Jesus said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not just the Jews, not just the rich, or not just the poor, but the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we, me and you and everybody else, were yet sinners, God, Christ, died for us. I can't make it any plainer. But by the cross, we too stand condemned like those two thieves that were hanging on the cross. We too will rightly be justified to hang on that cross just as they were for the sins that me and you have committed. But by the cross, there's been a way. And that way is through Christ. Today, families are still divided by the cross. Many people are so opposed to what Christ did, are so opposed to mentioning the name of Christ. And Brother Tim Stamey, that will be here in a couple of weeks, he shared this with me, and I may have mentioned this earlier, and if you've already heard it, I apologize, but he told me he has the opportunity to go and speak to some of the Special Forces people that are in the Air Force when they graduate their classes. And he tries to take that opportunity to share of his testimony and his faith in Christ. And a few here recently, he went and he was speaking, and before he got up to speak, there was a new commander, and he come up to him and he said, Brother Stamey, he probably didn't call him brother, but he said, Mr. Stamey, I want to talk to you just a minute. He said, I've never heard any of your speeches, but I've heard about your speeches. And I want to tell you, you can mention a greater power, you can mention a higher calling and all that, but you do not mention the name of Jesus Christ. Not in your speech. And Brother Tim, he said, okay. And he said, you know, I felt a little guilty because I did go ahead and speak, and I didn't mention the name of Christ. But he said, I saw it this way. I get the opportunity, Brother Owen, to be with him one-on-one. He gets to go back and to talk with those young men and women one-on-one. And then he can really share of his testimony with them. But you see, there are people that are still divided. You can't mention the name of Christ. You can't mention Jesus' name in a high school graduation anymore. You can't mention the grace of God, the blessings that God has poured upon you, but for fear that it will offend somebody. The cross that still divides is the cross that bridges the gap between mankind. So where do you stand this morning? Divided or bridged with God the Creator, the Holy One? Families will be divided. Families are divided. Not just in the Middle East, but over here as well. Some to the point that they're willing to kill another member so they don't have to mention or hear the cross anymore. And you may sit here this morning and say, well, I'd never go that far. I'd never hate a family member or a friend just because they walk closer with the Lord than I do. Well, let me ask you this morning, when was the last time you stopped and looked back to see just how far you've gone? You know, sometimes we'll look back and today, with the technologies, you can bring up a picture of the earth on your phone and you're looking at the road and see just how far you've traveled. And I'll be honest, and I mean this in no mean way. Some of you have traveled many miles. In other words, your years are on up in years. Brother Lloyd, I would assume you're probably the eldest here this morning, as far as I know. You traveled many miles down this whole world. Many of you else have here as well. But then in relationship to our Lord, you know, when you go on that map and you put a dot where you're at, and you put a dot as to where you want to get to, how far have we traveled? Have we traveled closer to our Lord, or have we traveled further away? And sometimes it is encouraging to look back to see how far we've gone. Sometimes it can be a warning light, too, the direction that we're going. Now, are you divided this morning? Are you caught between heaven and hell? Are you caught between life and death, between joy and pleasure? Joy being a true walk with Christ. Pleasure being what this world has to offer. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a good time and laugh and laughter and all that down here on this earth. I'm not saying that. But when that becomes your Lord, to seek pleasure and entertainment. And my friend, there's a problem. And only Christ can bridge that gap. Have you crossed that bridge this morning and accepted what Jesus did on the cross? Brother Clinton, the musicians, if you'll come this morning. I don't know anybody's heart here this morning, but this is what the Lord laid upon my heart. And I remind you again of the cross that Jesus carried. Yes, it divided, and yes, it bridged the gap. But yes, we also were the ones who put Christ on that cross. Yes, He freely chose to go there, but it was me and you that put Him there. Because He didn't sin. Not once did Jesus sin. It was all mine and yours. If you've not crossed that bridge, the cross of salvation, and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, today would be an awesome day. I believe it's Isaiah that says today is the day of salvation. It's either Isaiah or Jeremiah that says that. Not tomorrow, but today. Accept what Christ did upon the cross. He took that sacrifice. He took that punishment for me and for you. And maybe you've steered a little far from the cross and you need to come back to the Lord. Today could be that day as well. If you have a need, the altar's open. Brother Clint, what's your number?
Red Book 169.
Let's all stand.
Thank you.